The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. But they devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are only worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but our own, but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The story is told of a person who was a guest at a dinner party and didn't know anyone in the room, and he began the conversation by saying, "I want to talk to all of you about your faith." And people sort of balked and said, "You know, come on, you barely even know us. Can you talk to us about something a little less intrusive and personal?" And he said, "All right, how about we just talk about your money?" You know, it's been said that two of the things that you should avoid talking about in public are God and money. And so I thought, what better thing to do today but to talk about both? But in all seriousness, if you have been involved in any church, you know that sooner or later you will be faced with the topic of giving financially to the church. It's simply unavoidable. Now, the thing is, we tend to go to sort of two extremes on how we deal with this issue. So on the one hand, you've probably all seen situations in which churches have sort of, you know, shamed and guilted people into giving, right? But on the other hand, you've probably seen churches that will simply say, "Well, we just don't talk about this issue because it's optional, it's just something that we don't want to bring up, and after all, it makes people feel uncomfortable," right? And this is why I love this gospel reading, this story in Mark chapter 12. Because Jesus takes this whole topic of giving financially, and he doesn't take the approach of guilting people into giving, but neither does he take the approach of avoiding it altogether. What Jesus demonstrates for us in this beautiful story is why we should give to the church and how we should give to the church. Okay, so I want to look at these two questions. Why should we give to the church? And secondly, how should we give to the church? Okay, so first, why should we give to the church? And the answer is simply the gospel. The gospel, remember, we discuss quite often, is the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's the good news that Jesus loves you and demonstrated that by giving to you his life. When you look at this story, you see that you had very prestigious people who not only wore their robes in church, but wore them to the Maywood Market, you know, according to what was happening here, so that they could get praised and honored. And they wanted always the most important seats in the banquet. And so they're putting in large amounts of money. And the point that Jesus is making here is not that he doesn't want prestigious prayers, or not that he doesn't want lengthy prayers, not that he doesn't want generosity in the church, but rather he's showing us that this particular group of people he calls the scribes, they were interested in the prestigious aspects of the temple as an institution, and yet they were doing that at the expense of the people who made up that institution. They wanted to maintain all of the grand appearances of everything around them, but in order to do that, they were devouring widows' houses. See, the point of all this is that we give to the church not simply to help the church pay its bills, but to create a world where people don't have to experience what this poor widow experienced. We give to the church not just to help the church pay its bills, but to create a world in which people can be impacted by the message of the gospel. You know, this kind of reminds me of when I was in college, these popular drawings were cropping up all over the place, and you would see them in the mall, you'd see them at the at these street side art stands, you'd see them in people's dorm rooms, and they were these big poster size drawings that were just a bunch of mix-matched dots and colors. And the whole point of these was that if you supposedly look at it in just the right way, that you would see some amazing picture. I never was able to get them to work. I used to get so mad. I remember being at the mall one time, and all of these people are gathered around one of them and looking, and one of them saying, "Oh, it's unbelievable. There's a spaceship over here. There's a planet over here. Look at all the colors over here." And they're all just gazing and gawking at it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, "This is just a bunch of dots. And even why would you want it hanging up in your house?" And then later on, I thought, you know, that's often kind of the way it is with giving. In other words, we look at the needs of our church, and they are many. In every church these days, it's expensive. It costs money. We have projects. We have bills to pay. We have things that we have to give money to in order to keep the church going. And sometimes we can lose sight of the deeper picture. See, I remember somebody saying to me one time, "The problem, Dale, is that you're not looking deeply enough into the picture. You're just seeing what's on the surface." That's often how it is with the church. We see all the bills that have to be paid, and it's overwhelming to us, and we forget that the primary reason we give is so that the gospel message can continue to have a presence in this community. And so, for example, we have a food pantry here at the church, and it costs money to run a food pantry. And so we ask for donations, and we ask for pledges to get food for the pantry, not simply so that we can have groceries on a shelf, but so that the hungry can be fed. We take up a special offering at Advent for a specific cause, and this year it's for the Eastern Christian Children's Home. And I'm excited because tonight we're having a seminar here at the church at 5 o'clock, and the representatives from the Eastern Christian Children's Home are going to be here to give a presentation on what their ministry is all about. And if you're looking for a way to really personalize your giving at Advent and to see the gospel ministry that's taking place through that organization, please come tonight at 5 o'clock. There'll be a dinner and there'll be a presentation, and it's a wonderful way to see how the dollars you give are not just there to pay bills, but to expand the ministry of the gospel in ways that we otherwise would not know of. Another example would be our children's ministry. Our Christian Education Committee and our consistory have been praying and talking about doing a vacation Bible school this summer, and we've budgeted for it. And we're so excited about that we can get together a week of offering a vacation Bible school for children in our church and in the community, and yet it costs money to do these things. And so we give to that, to the church, not just so that we can say, okay, how much does it cost to have a vacation Bible school, but rather, how can we give to enable the gospel to be manifested in that particular ministry? There are all kinds of ways that we do that, but this story demonstrates for us so powerfully that we give simply because of the gospel. Now, Jesus shows us that in the form of a story, but the Apostle Paul, several years later, showed us in the form of his teaching, which Cindy read. It was a portion of a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Now, the interesting thing about Corinth is that it was known for being a wealthy area and a selfish area. It was known for being an area where there was lots of money, but where people hoarded their money. And the church was struggling as a result. And it's so gracious the way Paul presented it, because he didn't just say, you know, all you Corinthians, you're such tightwads, just start giving us all your money. No. He thanked them and he reminded them of the grace that had been shown to them in Jesus. And he said, you realize that because there's a church in Corinth, people's lives are being changed, relationships are being reconciled, healing is taking place. We're getting a glimpse of the grace of God. And so we give to the church because of the mission of the gospel. So that's why we give to the church. Now, the second thing we see in this story is how should we give to the church? Now, again, we tend to be very practical. And so as we come next Sunday with our pledge cards, and most of you saw the budget last week and the budget that was approved by the church in terms of what we're budgeting for ministry in 2015. As we pray through what we're going to give on our pledge cards, we tend to look at it very practically and think, okay, what percentage do we have to give? You know, is there a rule in the Bible that tells me just how little I can get away with giving? Right? or we say, well, okay, I've got a little money left over this week. I guess I'll give that. You know, and it's good to be thinking through these things. But what Jesus shows us in terms of the how is that we should simply give sacrificially. Now, there's obviously a contrast in this story between the way the teachers of the law, the scribes, the rich people, There's obviously a contrast between how they were giving and how the poor widow was giving. And Jesus didn't do that to just simply say, see, I don't like rich people and I do like poor people. You know, Jesus loves everybody. We know that. But he's showing us this contrast to show that the teachers of the law had studied the law. And they knew the letter of the law. And they knew exactly how much they had to give and no more. And they lived by that. And they had so much money that they didn't even feel it for them to give. And yet this poor widow goes forward with her eyes on Jesus, probably, and puts in all she has to live on, which is only worth a penny. And Jesus praises her for it and says, she put in more than all the others. It's because it was a sacrifice. It's because she understood the gospel. Now, I don't know what this world is coming to when we now have entire channels on television devoted to just watching people playing poker. Have you seen this? And every once in a while they have, you know, the celebrity poker where you just watch people play poker all day long. I don't know. It's a very odd thing. Now, not that I do it, not that I watch those shows, but one of the things that's interesting about poker is that when that moment in the game when somebody goes all in, it completely changes everything. It exhilarates the game, right? And it's interesting because when a person goes all in, they do it for two reasons. They either do it because they're bluffing. That's a very real possibility. You know, we talk about, you know, showing your poker face, right? They either do it because they're bluffing and they have nothing, or They do it because they have an amazing hand. They know that they have a hand, that the hand that has been dealt them is the winning hand. Well, not that I'm trying to equate giving to the church to gambling, okay? But I will say this. I wonder sometimes if one of the reasons that we don't give more sacrificially is because we haven't understood the amazing hand that we've been dealt in Christ. See, if we believe the passage that we looked at for the words of assurance, that the grace of Jesus Christ is such that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor so that you through his poverty might become rich. And what he means by that is the riches of God's grace, his forgiveness, all of his kingdom he has given to his children. See, if we don't really believe that, if we don't really think that we've been dealt a very good hand, then of course we're going to hold on to everything we have. But if we believe that everything we have comes from God anyway, and that he's going to bless us when we give generously and sacrificially, that changes things. That changes things to where we can give sacrificially with cheerfulness and with confidence that our money is bigger than we are, and that what we're giving is giving to something that will live on long after we're gone, which is the ministry of God's church. I like the way C.S. Lewis put it in his book, Mere Christianity, and I put this on the first page of your bulletin, a quote. I put this quote in the bulletin, and I have to say, I have a love-hate relationship with this quote. I love it and I hate it. And here's why. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, and amusement is up to the standard of those with the same income as our own, we're probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we would like to do but cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them." I think C.S. Lewis understood how the gospel is both a comfort and a challenge. Now, the comfort is that we have the most amazing hand anyone could have ever received. That's the hand of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, the riches of heaven. We have that. And the challenge is that he asks us to sacrificially give so that others may know of that same great hand, the grace of Jesus Christ. So why do we give to the church? Not out of guilt, but rather because of the gospel itself. And how do we give to the church? We give sacrificially because Christ has so graciously sacrificed himself for us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.